A reading from Luke 19:20-27. Then another servant came and said, "Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in, and reap what you did not sow." His master replied, "I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit, so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?" Then he said to those standing by, "Take his mina away from him, and give it to the one who has 10 minas. "Sir," they said, "he already has 10. He replied, "I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me."
Boy, that last sentence is startling, not reassuring, and certainly not something you would expect. And it jumps right out. But I want to, before we deal with that, perhaps, I want to go back and deal with this third man, because he seems to have assumed he knows the nature of the master, the king. And so by assuming certain things about him, he has acted on those assumptions, which are totally contradicted by what the king says. He says, at least what you should have done, if the king is looking for fruitfulness, this man has sort of denied it, and instead he's just, out of fear, has buried the treasure.
Well, yeah, it's a declaration that the response of conservatism and basically not taking risk with the opportunities God has given us is not the answer to pleasing God. This whole parable is built around bringing a return. It values good investment and good application of resource. And so there is this warning about when you've been given talent, time, and treasure, don't bury it. Use it. It's to be used for a greater gain. And so there is a warning in this.
The other word, when you're thinking of what this man did, he had fear. And then he acted in a way that didn't produce anything. Mm-hmm. So fear oftentimes stops action, but to be fruitful, it involves risk. And risk brings uncertainty. So risk has to have a certain level of faith attached to it in order to create the action that will produce fruitfulness.
Yeah, by very nature, faith is taking a risk. You're trusting in something that you don't see completely. The passage we talked about a couple days ago about blind Bartimaeus, he takes the risk of being socially ostracized by people who don't want him crying out that way. It says that when they say, "Get up," Jesus says, "Get up and come," he throws his cloak aside. How's he going to find that cloak again? You know, is there going to be someone? He's already ostracized himself from the crowd. That cloak probably was pretty important to him in the context where he was at. And so there's always a risk. And Jesus honors the risk of faith. If you trust for big things, you will get big things. If you trust for small things, you'll get your reward a lot of times, which is small things. And in this case, you will be punished because you did not bring a return with the opportunity that God gave you.
On the level of application then, what do you think today that you see in your ministry where the fears that inhibit action through fear of risk? What are the big inhibitors these days that cause people to be less fruitful than they otherwise would be for Christ?
One would be a fear of society's view. We want to be seen as socially appropriate. And so we're sometimes afraid to take spiritual risk in front of people. They'll call us foolish. The other would be comfort. We want to be comfortable in our lives. And so there's things that God might call us to that will make us uncomfortable. And then finally would be control. The illusion that somehow we have kind of control. Really, to take faith means to lose control and to completely trust God and what He's doing.